about the power of spiritual guidance on mental health. Did you know that religious leaders often serve as health educators within their own communities?
Some of these leaders hold more power than well-known politicians. Some church members even refrain from taking their HIV medication.
Yeah.
And this is so common in so many communities where religious beliefs may conflict with medical interventions.
Hello, Globies, and welcome to the World Health Investigation Podcast. My name is Jocelyn.
I'm Edna. We are young global health professionals and your hosts for the World Health Investigation Podcast.
Also known as the WHI, we will be discussing all things global health, unpacking the most controversial health and social issues,
as well as promoting new wave global health development and equity.
So, Dina, what's the tea in global health today?
Of course, let's dive into some of the news headlines that stood out to us this week.
Right, if you live in a low to middle income country and buy Nestle's baby food products, you're gonna want to pay attention to this one. So Nestle, the world's largest consumer goods company, has been found to add sugar and honey to infant milk and cereal products sold in many poorer countries. This has to be one of the most outrageous things I read this month. So the report detailing this practice was recently released by Public Eye, which is a Swiss investigative organization. The report came out April 2024. So samples of Nestle's baby food products sold in Asia, Africa, and Latin America were sent for testing, revealing added sugar in products like Nido and Cerelac intended for infants and young children. Nestle's products in these regions contradict international guidelines. Let's get that clear. WHO has guidelines on this and they're directly contradicting them. And these guidelines are aimed at preventing obesity and chronic diseases. So this is just highlighting that there's a clear double standard in their global marketing practices. And when we think about the impacts on global health, we know that obesity rates are rising in many low and middle income countries. And Nestle adding sugar in baby food products is exacerbating this issue, okay? It's essentially setting up babies for health problems from day one. I think it's high time. I mean, people do this all the time, but we need to continue, you know, calling for transparent labeling and adhering to WHO guidelines. And you know what? Sometimes our wallets speak the loudest. So I would strongly consider just supporting brands that prioritize healthier options. Your hard-earned money could be better spent on companies that actually care about children's well-being. And that does it for this news segment.
Okay. That's a lot to take in.
Yeah, that was quite a bit.
That was quite a bit.
Very shocking.
All of this, and I can't imagine.
Yeah, and a little bit sad.
Yeah. Now, on to the topic of the season. Today, we delve into the significant role that religious leaders play in shaping the health and well-being of their followers. Again, in our previous episode, yes, we talked about TB Joshua, and now
we're back at it. So, are we ready to uncover some divine secrets today?
You bet, Edna. Mm-hmm. We're unraveling the mysterious connection between religious leaders and health outcomes. It's like CSI Faith Edition.
I like the sound of that. Let's dive into it, Globies.
Okay, now from a historical perspective, throughout history, religious leaders have held an immense sway over their communities, not only in matters of faith, but also in health practices.
Did you know that, according to a study published in The Lancet, faith-based organizations provide approximately 40% of healthcare in low to middle income countries, especially in regions with limited access to medical facilities?
Wow, no, I did not. I did not know that.
And so from ancient healing rituals to modern healthcare services, we're seeing that religious institutions have long been at the forefront of promoting health and healing within their communities.
Wow. Now talk about divine intervention in healthcare. Looks like that. Those prayers are being answered in more than one ways than one.
Let the church say amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, there is this sense of belonging, purpose, and hope provided by religious communities, which can have a profound positive impact on individuals' mental health, offering solace and resilience in times of distress.
That's very true. So let's look at examples from different religions. For example, in Hinduism, the concept of Ayurveda, emphasizing holistic health practices, including herbal remedies, yoga, and meditation. These ancient traditions continue to influence health and well-being in many parts of the world today. Namaste.
Okay. And in Judaism, the Torah contains numerous laws and guidelines related to health and hygiene, promoting practices such as hand washing, dietary restrictions that contribute to overall well-being.
For real. And in Islam, the Prophet Muhammad emphasized the importance of cleanliness and hygiene with practices such as ritual ablution?
Yeah.
Ablution? Prayer. And of course, it has a profound impact on health practices in Muslim majority countries.
Okay, we love to see the health. Now, let's see some spiritual guidance and mental health. How do those two come together? Let's talk about the power of spiritual guidance on mental health.
Okay.
Now, Edna, have you heard about the latest trend in therapy? It's called Divine Counseling 101.
That's not a good thing. But it sounds like my kind of therapy session. Now, in all seriousness, though, studies have shown that religious beliefs can have a profound impact on mental well-being.
Yeah, people's religious leaders are like the original therapists.
Loki Ike. So, according to a study by the Pew Research Center, 68% of religiously affiliated Americans say that their faith helps them deal with life's challenges.
Okay, it's like having your own personal cheerleader squad, but with roles... and incense.
I get that. For example, Buddhism, mindfulness practices such as meditation and deep breathing are not only spiritual exercises, but also effective tools for managing stress and anxiety.
And in Christianity, which we strongly recommend, by the way, many find solace in the teachings of Jesus Christ, who emphasized compassion, forgiveness, and inner peace, as well as unconditional love.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like prayer is almost like a form of meditation. Obviously, it's like communicating with God and all these things, but you're very quiet place. Normally, I like to pray in a quiet place, you know?
Yeah.
How about you?
I think my faith has improved my anxiety so much, to be honest. I feel like God is my strength, my pillar. I love to meditate. And
amen.
He has redeemed me, and he has literally taken me from nothing to something. So hallelujah, praise God.
Amen. I love that for you. I love that for you, to be honest.
All right, Globies, let's shift gears and talk about health education and promotion.
Okay.
Did you know that religious leaders often serve as health educators within their own communities?
No. I mean, yes, I did know. But maybe others didn't.
Yeah.
So take Christianity, for example. In Christian tradition, many churches host health fairs and wellness workshops, providing information and resources on topics such as nutrition, exercise, and preventative healthcare.
Well, according to a report by the World Health Organization, religious institutions have been instrumental in disseminating information about HIV and AIDS prevention and treatment in many parts of Africa, contributing to significantly the decline in infection rates.
Yep. And a study published in the Journal of Religion and Health found that individuals who attend religious services regularly are more likely to engage in health promoting behaviors such as regular exercise and abstaining from smoking.
Okay.
Yeah. So I do think by leveraging their platform and influence, religious leaders can empower their communities to make informed decisions about their health and well-being.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds beautiful.
Thank you.
I would love to be religious, but it's not all gloom, right? If there's some elephant in the room. the controversies and challenges.
Yeah, sometimes religious beliefs can clash with modern medical practices, creating some sticky situations. It's like trying to fit a pill box, a square pill, into a round pill box. You get what I mean?
I know what you mean. And dealing with these controversies is like trying to juggle holy books like a tightrope.
All these analogies. Are you getting it?
You're getting it.
So, another example is, in some conservative religious communities, they may be resistant to certain medical interventions such as vaccinations or blood transfusions due to religious beliefs.
Yeah, and however, this is it's important to realize that these beliefs are not universal within religious traditions. Many religious leaders and organizations actively promote evidence-based medicine and encourage their followers to seek appropriate medical care when needed.
Absolutely. It's all about finding a balance between respecting religious beliefs and ensuring the health and well-being of individuals and communities.
Yeah, I love the sound of that.
Yeah.
So there's obviously that balance, but we need to think about the ethical considerations.
Yeah, because like you said before, with great power comes great responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. The intersection of religion and health raises important ethical considerations.
Right. So balancing religious freedoms with the provision of quality healthcare can be a delicate dance. Like we previously discussed, the influence of religious leaders such as so-called Prophet TB Joshua, who allegedly abused members of his church physically, psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually. We need to think about how the influence of leaders such as him is not just without its amazing points. There are some controversies and challenges here.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. And, you know, some of these leaders hold more power than well-known politicians. Some church members even refrain from taking their HIV medication.
Yeah.
And this is so common in so many communities where religious beliefs may conflict with medical interventions, and that can lead to lower vaccination rates, just as an example.
So if you haven't watched it, go watch it again at your own discretion, of course. Watch all the kind of content that you feel you need to watch to understand, because it's good to get different perspectives.
Yeah.
So how do we move forward? What's the future direction? So if you look into the future, there's immense potential for collaboration between religious organizations and healthcare institutions.
Absolutely. By leveraging their influence and resources, religious leaders can continue to make significant contributions to improving the health and well-being of their communities.
Yeah, like it's an opportunity, like you said, right? So just taking all of this together, we've explored in today's episode that religious leaders wield considerable influence over the health behaviors and outcomes of their followers.
Absolutely. From providing spiritual guidance to promoting health education and advocacy, their impact is undeniable.
If you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, leave us a review. We value your feedback and look forward to bringing you more engaging discussions in the future.
Yeah. Until next time, take care, stay healthy, continue asking questions.
And if you haven't yet, please make sure you follow us on our socials at @WHI_podcast on Instagram, Twitter, if you want small banter, TikTok, or World Health Investigation on LinkedIn, YouTube, and Facebook, where we can give you all our most recent updates.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us.
Bye.